a number of things are in my mind on this Sunday. On this day, it is my brother's birthday. No, not the brother who is a member, but another brother. Tomorrow is the first year anniversary of my mother's death, who died last December 27, 2020. And of course, the more important thing is that it is the 52nd Sunday, the last Sunday of the year 2021. There are still 5 days left for the year, but to us as a church, it is the last Sunday that we are gathered in this manner and fashion in order to worship our God. And we have reasons to thank the Lord that despite the present situation, we have not missed a Sunday of live stream worship. And though not ideal, which is always the normal assembly that we desire, it is still mercy from the Lord that we are able to have this worship by way of this live stream. And as the last Sunday of the year, we naturally look back to the ways of the Lord's dealing with us. And it is providential that the series I am doing currently should as well be a very fitting year-end message. This is both conclusion to the series of Nativity Hymns as well as my year-end message. I am using portions of the Gospel of Luke. Luke has a more detailed narrative of the nativity of Jesus than Matthew, the only other evangelist that gives us a narrative of the nativity. And Luke arranges his nativity narrative around three hymns, three songs sung by three characters involved in that nativity. We have looked at the most familiar to many, the Magnificat of Mary, in which she praises the Lord for being the vessel used for the conception and birth of the Messiah. And then we looked last week at the Benedictus of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. I'm using, by the way, the Latin titles because they are the names by which these songs had been known for 2,000 years of church history. I'm explaining the meaning of these Latin terms. Magnificat is the first term in Mary's song in which she magnified the Lord and her Savior. Benedictus is blessed be the name of the Lord of Israel. And so we are using the first term used by the Latin Vulgate translated by Jerome. And we are looking at these hymns as our way of meditation on the birth of the Son of God. And we are coming to the last, which perhaps is the least known. It is definitely the shortest, but it has a very it is very pregnant with meaning, and I would invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. We will read verses 25 to 35. The song itself is from verse 29 to verse 32, but the whole context is important. So let us read Luke 2, verses 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, and that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Now, Simeon is a little known character. There is nowhere else in the whole of the New Testament we find this character, Simeon. his role and his place in the inspired record is only in this utterance of the hymn. This is his only purpose. He is introduced as being righteous and devout, and that he received a revelation that makes him a prophet, a direct revelation from the Holy Spirit, that he will see the Messiah before his earthly life was to end. So imagine how he eagerly waited in the temple for every child perhaps that is being brought for the ceremony of dedication and circumcision, until one day Joseph and Mary came for the presentation of Jesus according to the Jewish law, and there Simeon knows that his long-awaited moment has come. He is seeing the Messiah in person, and so he carries the child and then sings his hymn. This is the shortest of the three, and as I've said, the least known. In Latin, it begins with Nunc Dimittis, literally, now you may dismiss, or now you may discharge. That means I can end my days because I have done my mission. You have revealed to me that I will see the Messiah before my life ends. Now I am seeing the Messiah in person. And so Nunc Dimittis, now you may dismiss. This is the utterance of one who knows that his mission is done and he may now be discharged peacefully, having accomplished that mission. Now, this connects to our year-end reflection because to some extent, we can also say that we are being dismissed from the year that is now to conclude, the year 2021. The question is, can we say with Simeon that we can be dismissed with peace, with shalom, because we have done our mission, whatever that mission may be. It may be that God will give us another year and more years to come, but the point is 2021 is coming to a close. Have we done our mission? And that is the essence of Simeon's song of Nunc Dimittis. Let me derive this message. The coming to earth of the Son of God commits God's servant to his mission until discharge. Ang pagdating sa mundo ng anak ng Diyos ay nag-aalay ang lingkod ng Diyos sa kanyang misyon hanggang sa siya ay wakasan. The coming to earth of the Son of God commits God's servant to his mission until discharge. I already explained that by the coming of the Son of God, I mean the whole complex of what Jesus did in his first coming. I'm not talking only of the birth, though that is what is in the minds of many today, but I am talking of the whole complex of what Jesus did from the manger to the cross, to the empty tomb, and to the ascension. That is the first coming. And as I've always said, the manger will be meaningless no matter how you celebrate it with all kinds of ostentation and lavishness characteristic of our season. That will make no difference if you do not know the cross of Jesus Christ, because that is what he came to do. That is the reason why he became human. He became a baby in order to grow up a perfect human being, having obeyed the law, and yet on the cross, he took the penalty of the law for the salvation of sinners. That is your only hope of salvation without him on the cross, and having been raised from the dead, and we have an empty tomb, there will be no savior just because there was a baby in the manger. But now, this is a challenge to us. Now, did you know that this is the first inspired record of verbal response to the Messiah in person? Now, certainly, his parents, Joseph and Mary, would have talked to him, but that's not recorded. Certainly, the shepherds who went also to see the birth of the Messiah would have talked to him, but that is not on record. The first thing on record speaking to the Messiah in person is this by Simeon, and that certainly makes it very significant. And besides the song itself, it includes prophetic words addressed to the parents, particularly to Mary. And this is rich with meaning and implication that is right to reflect on this end of the year. as we think of the year that is concluding, can we say that we have the mission and we can be discharged from this year having done the mission faithfully? In order to examine ourselves to do that, let me challenge you with three thoughts. First, a mission covering all sinners. Isang mission na sumasaklaw sa lahat ng makasalanan. A mission covering all sinners. And the second thing is a message demanding a response. Isang mensahe na humihingi ng pagtugon. A message demanding a response. And thirdly, a master deciding the discharge. Ang Panginoon na nagpapasya ng pagwawakas. A master deciding the discharge. The first thing then in examining ourselves as we conclude this year is a mission covering all sinners. That is what Simeon saw in the Messiah in person. Simeon's song brings together two groups that rarely combine with a positive note, and that is Israel and the Gentiles. Simeon sings of the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, that is all nations. And then he mentions the two groups, revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. I already said that it is rare to bring together Israel and Gentiles in a positive note, but even more rarely are the Gentiles mentioned first. But here in the Song of Simeon, he mentions the Gentiles first, revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for Israel. Definitely in Simeon's mind, what is so unique about this child he is carrying at this point is that he is the Messiah, and by the birth of the Messiah, the mission is now covering all sinners in the world, both Jews and Gentiles. The coming of Christ makes the saving mission global. It is for all the world, for all humanity. Ang pagdating ng Mesiyas ay ginawang ang misyon ay pangmundo, pangbuong sangkatauhan. From the very beginning, this has been God's intention. Clear, even in the Abrahamic covenant, when God called Abraham from the land of Ur, what he told him was that, in you I will bless all nations of the earth. All the families of the nations will be blessed through Abraham. So definitely Abraham was called not to have an exclusive nation of Israel that will be the exclusive recipient of the blessing of God. But over generations, the Israelites petrified this blessing into an exclusivism that translated into contempt for other nations, for Gentiles. But the coming of Christ is refreshing the truth. And Simeon could see that. And Simeon could see that with the coming of the Messiah, now he is holding in his hands, he is carrying, he can see a mission that has become a revelation to the Gentiles as well. And that is something that we should refresh. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a Middle Eastern savior that is only for that particular race. But there remains groups of believers today who have failed to appreciate this truth even now. They still think that Israel today remains the special people of God that other nations are not. And they think that God is going to do something to Israel there in the Middle East that is so special that will make that nation above all other nations in a millennial reign. We must reject that. It reverses what the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to do, which is salvation for all peoples of the world. And that is what Simeon sees in this child. He calls the child, "My eyes have seen your salvation." So instead of calling the child by name, he calls the child by what he is to do. And the child is salvation. Salvation is the person. Salvation is not an institution. Salvation is not a set of works to do. Salvation is not some pledge or vows of pilgrimage that when you do, you will be saved. No, my friend, salvation is in this person who at this time in Simeon's hands is just a baby, but he will grow to obey the law of God perfectly. The law that we could not obey, the law that we have transgressed, he obeyed perfectly. And that law that should punish us, when Jesus was on the cross, he took the penalty of that law so that those who come to him may no longer have condemnation. That is your only salvation. He is the only Savior. And so, like Simeon holding the baby in his hand, for our part by faith, we look to the Christ on the cross, the Christ on the throne now. And we must believe in him if we are to be saved. Salvation is still a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us, that means we have a mission. We have a mission on behalf of this person. And every person who is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ has a mission to do in order to extend what Jesus has accomplished, to extend it to the world, at what one person can do to make a difference. If you're following the politics in America, you will know that one person, one senator, blocked the much vaunted signature piece of legislation by President Joe Biden, which many economists believe will destroy the economy. That's the Democrat senator from West Virginia or South Virginia. That's Joe Manchin. And you can see here what one person can do. And we're not in politics, but this is so much more true when it comes to the mission of Jesus Christ. We cannot reach the whole world, but we have our piece of that world. We have our piece of that humanity. That piece of humanity may just be a child which a mother raises with full witness of the scriptures, catechizing and teaching and rearing him in the knowledge of the Lord. That may be your piece of humanity, but that is a mission and what one person can do to make a difference. So I challenge you, look at your present mission as part of God's worldwide plan for his kingdom. Tingnan mo ang iyong kasalukuyang misyon na bahagi ng pangmundong plano ng Diyos para sa kanyang kaharian. You must have a kingdom outlook to be able to claim that you are in a mission in your earthly life. A kingdom outlook is that which sees your life in terms of the rule of Christ. And he is ruling via his death and resurrection. And it is that outlook that will give you a sense of mission. Unfortunately, some Christians have lost sight of the mission, blurred by their selfish concerns and preoccupation. How would you evaluate your 2021? Have you been occupied with a mission for the kingdom? I'm not saying that you should become a missionary like our missionary in Thailand. I am not saying that you should become a preacher like I am. I am not saying that you should be doing some great work of Bible study, but still, the little that you can do for a piece of humanity that has to do with the rule of Jesus Christ, that is your mission. And so how would you evaluate the year 2021 in the light of that? The important issue is whether, like Simeon waiting at the temple, have you been serving the Lord Jesus Christ? For our part, we are no longer like Simeon awaiting when the child who is the Messiah will be presented. He has come. Our mission is ongoing. We have a piece of humanity to reach for the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you of the story of how Hudson Taylor, as a young man, was converted. Even though his father was a pastor, a preacher, yet his conversion was not by listening to sermons, but by reading a tract. Whoever wrote the tract, we have no idea, but he read the tract and he was converted. So whoever wrote the tract had done something that may not have reached a lot of people, but it reached Hudson Taylor, and Hudson Taylor reached millions by becoming a missionary in China and himself becoming an inspiration to other missionaries. You see how the chain works. A piece of humanity that can reach many more. So there is a mission that is covering all sinners. Then there is a message demanding a response. Simeon describes the effect of the child that he is holding in his arms, that he will be for the fall and rising of many. Now, some interpret this as the same group of people, that is, the same people who will respond to Jesus will first experience a fall of conviction and then the rising of conversion. That's possible, but it is more in keeping with the two other hymns to see here a contrast. We have seen in the Magnificat as well as in the Benedictus of Mary and Zacharias, respectively, that they sustained a contrast. And here is another contrast, the differing effect of the Messiah, of the message of Jesus to different people, that some will be falling because of him while others will be rising. Christ is a message forcing a division of humanity based on response to him. Si Kristo ay ang ating mensahe na nagdudulot ng paghahanay o paghahati ng sangkatauhan na batay sa pagtugon sa kanya. Let me be very clear, we are not for racial division of any kind. We do not divide humanity on the basis of race or status in society. But there is an inevitable division based on response to Jesus Christ. Peter makes this clear in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. The honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that they have rejected will be the stone that will crush them. So he divides humanity between those who believe in Jesus and those who do not believe. In the same context, there are those who consider Jesus as precious and then those who reject him. On which side are you? This is what the message will do. It is inevitable that you will have a response to Jesus. The promised Christ as prophet, priest, and king, whether you are conscious of it or not, you are responding. You are responding now. Maybe you are saying that you are not rejecting him. You are just probably delaying for a better time. But delay is just a polite way of rejecting when the invitation is now. And you will end in the same fall that Simeon here describes will be the case of those who fail to respond to the message of Jesus. And then later, Simeon describes this child as one who will be for a sign that is opposed. Now, this is a word that Luke uses several times in the book of Acts that describes the rejection of the message. In Acts 13:45, regarding the message of the Apostle Paul, it says, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict. Now, that is exactly the same word in Greek for the word opposed by Simeon. They contradicted the message that was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Now, that is a response. If you are not responding to him in faith and repentance, you are contradicting the message. So have you responded in faith to the message this year? For those of you who still are outside the grace of God, the year 2021 is again concluding. And perhaps you had been hearing the message way back through many years, and another year is closing that you're still not saved. And I'm appealing to you, let not this year conclude with you still outside of the grace of God when it is so open in invitation to you. There are still a significant number of people who reject the vaccine. I respect their opinion, and I am against mandating the vaccine on people because I do not want government to intrude into anyone's conscience. But you see the division, those who are for vaccination and those who are not for vaccination, and there would be an effect on the health of society. But that is just vaccination. Your response to Christ has eternal consequences. And my challenge to you is be grateful to grace that made you respond. If you are one of those who could be described as Simeon describes as those who are rising because of Christ, be grateful to grace that made you respond and be instrumental for others' response. Maging mapagpasalamat ka sa biyaya na nagbigay ng pagtugon sa iyo sa paanyaya ng mensahe ni Jesucristo at maging kasangkapan ka sa pag-anyaya sa ibang hindi pa tumatanggap kay Jesucristo. Never imagine that your believing response is because of anything better in you than those who reject him. Apostle Paul asks in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, what is it that you have received? And if you have received it, why do you glory as if you have not received it? In other words, it is a gift. And there is no reason to glory. And if you have received it, then resolve to be an instrument. Have a mission. And the mission happens to be a message. And with your believing response, you are given a mission that is a message, just like Simeon pointing to Christ. So we must point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it may just be a small piece of humanity, perhaps just just one person you are trying to reach. But imagine Monica, who did not give up on his son Augustine, even though he went wayward in his life. Monica kept praying, even followed him in Carthage and in Rome, and bore Christian witness to her son. And look at what happened. We do not have any theological treatise by Monica. All her ministry was for the conversion of her son. But generations and generations have profited from the writings of Augustine as a Christian. So there is a message demanding a response, but finally, there is a master deciding the discharge. Meron tayong Panginoon na siyang magpapasya kung kailan tatapusin ang ating misyon. This brings us back to the title, Nunc Dimittis. Dismiss now is the meaning. Or discharge, it is often used of leaving one's presence. And what it tells us is that Simeon is asking that he is now at peace with dying, ending his life, having done his mission of awaiting the coming in person of the Messiah, and now seeing him, his mission is done, he can be dismissed. Well, we do not need to talk about dying, though that is not far from the idea of our passage. But let us think of the conclusion of the year. Can we be dismissed with shalom? Can we be dismissed with a sense of having done our charge faithfully and now we can be discharged? It is the Lord as master of life who determines when we are done with our earthly charge. Ang Panginoon natin ang siyang magpapasya kung kailan tapos na tayo sa ating itinalagang gawain. The word for Lord here is not the usual word for Lord in the New Testament. This is the word for master. In fact, in literal translation, it is despot. It has a negative sense to us when we talk of someone being despotic. But that is not the negative sense of this word. It only means the one who decides. This is the master who decides. It is the Lord who decides when we are done. It points to his sovereign decision when it is right for us to be discharged, having done the mission. Unfortunately, just like in the military, there can be a dishonorable discharge when a soldier fails to follow command and fails in his duty by dereliction. He can be dishonorably discharged. He is discharged, but not with honor. And that is not what we want. My challenge to you, even as we end this year, is make it your aim to be found faithful whenever the master's discharge comes. Gawin mong layunin na maging tapat kailanman dumating ang pagtatapos na itatakda ng ating Panginoon. Simeon was found where he ought to be, waiting at the temple for the promised child to appear. We no longer wait for the coming of the Son. He has come, and we now have our charge to serve Him. And this year that we are about to conclude, would you be prepared to say, Nunc Dimittis, this year, dismiss now your servant this year. The mission has been done. You will not have heard of the name who was one of those discharged in 2021. She passed away, Marilyn Laszlo. She spent almost 25 years in Papua New Guinea translating the Bible. That's her work. Translation of the Bible in the language that could be understood by the natives of Papua New Guinea. This year, 2021, she had been dismissed, discharged. She died. And I think having done her duty, and we wish to have that sense of faithfulness when our time should come, even at the end of this year, may we be able to say, Lord, I have done as faithfully as I could with all the flaws attending the work of a flawed servant, yet I have done what you have charged me to do. And now, Nunc Dimittis, you may dismiss me this year. The Lord Jesus is now King. His servants have a mission. And one day, the discharge will come. And if the discharge is in terms of concluding a year, let us say, with confidence of God's grace in making us faithful, Nunc Dimittis, or if the discharge is a final discharge from this life, let us also say, Nunc Dimittis, your servant is ready to depart. And it is with that thought that we respond with a hymn that reminds us that we only have one life, and so soon it will pass. That is a thought that should make us sense the urgency of using this life, because there is none other. This is our one earthly life in order to serve our Lord with a mission. Another year is closing. Another year is opening. Whenever the Lord will discharge us, may we be able to stay with peace. Nunc Dimittis. One life, only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let us sing. Only one life, soon it will pass. Let's close in prayer. Our great God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder that we only have one life to live in this world, and whatever it is that we accumulate in terms of treasure, fame, and all these things that people chase after, they will be without meaning unless done for the one who owns our lives, the one who is Lord and Savior now. We pray for those who are about to conclude this year still outside the saving grace of God, that you may have mercy upon them, and we pray that they may not waste the opportunity that they are given the opportunity, the chance to come to Christ. And may they realize that procrastination is just the same as rejection of a message that is so urgent. And for those of us who have responded to Christ and know the grace of salvation, may we sense our own mission in this life, just as the coming of Christ has made the mission global and worldwide and for all humanity. We cannot do that of ourselves, but you have made it our mission to have a piece of humanity. It may just be one person, it may just be one child, but we never know what that can do according to your plan for the kingdom. So help us, Lord, to be faithful to the mission that you have given to us. And even as this year, 2021, is concluding, may we be able to say with Simeon as he concluded his life, Nunc dimittis, you may discharge now your servant. And we pray, Lord, that we may do so with a sense of having done what we could by your grace to faithfully discharge the mission that you have given to us, a mission that is a message of salvation that demands response. May we be like Simeon, be pointers to Jesus Christ as salvation. And we acknowledge that you are the master of our lives, and it is in your sovereign decision that you will determine when the discharge is going to come, whether that discharge is the end of the year, as we are now facing, or the end of a life. But whatever it is, grant that we may be faithful in the mission you have given to us, knowing that we only have one life, and so soon it will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. Now may the love of the Father, the grace of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.